I want to discuss the forgiveness of sin. And I want to use the Ephesian epistle for us to consider this topic. I want all of us to be mindful that we all have sinned. And I want us to understand without any doubt that the God of heaven is a forgiving God. His desire is to forgive sin. He has loved humanity. He has sacrificed the Lord Jesus Christ. He has paid for human forgiveness. He is a God that is just, a God that is merciful, and a God that wants all of humanity, every single individual that has been privileged to have life, to live eternally. In Ephesians 1 and verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. The author of this epistle to the Ephesian Christians, to the Ephesian church, is the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul had been responsible for the beginning of the church at Ephesus, for it was there that he preached the gospel of Christ to those who had believed unto John's baptism. But having heard Paul, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and thus they became the church. Paul then writes a 6th chapter letter to them. In verse 1, he addresses them as the saints and the faithful in Christ Jesus. This is their identity. This is the identity of the church. In verse 4, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. He identifies them as the chosen. God has chosen them. In verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. It is the good pleasure of God to save humanity. God delights in the salvation of humanity. He identifies the church as the adopted. They have been adopted as children by Jesus Christ. Verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. According to the riches of the grace of God, those at Ephesus had been redeemed and forgiven. Notice who they are. The church at Ephesus are saints, faithful, chosen, adopted, redeemed, forgiven. This is the identity of the church. But this is not who they were before. They were previously dead in trespasses and sins. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 and verse 5, Paul reminds them of who they had been, who they were previously. What Paul does in the Ephesian letter is take the church at Ephesus on a spiritual journey. There is a transition of life presented in the Ephesian letter. Chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. the saints, the faithful, the chosen, the adopted, the redeemed, the forgiven, had been dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. That's not a very pretty picture. That's not a very pretty description. They were dead, spiritually dead, not physically dead. God is not concerned with physical death. Should we be? God is concerned with spiritual death. They were spiritually dead, separated, alienated, cut off. In verse 12, Paul says they were without God in this world. They were dead in trespasses and sins. They walked according to the course of this world. They fulfilled the desires of the flesh and the mind. They were children of wrath. They were dead. Now they are saints, faithful, chosen, adopted, redeemed, forgiven. By the grace of God, they have been saved. They were quickened, Paul said. You hath he quickened. You that were dead have been quickened. We can understand that that word simply means that they were made alive in Christ Jesus. They were spiritually dead, but they have been made alive in Christ. Colossians 2, verse 13, and you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Paul writes the identical words to the church at Colossae. The church at Colossae were saints, sanctified in Christ Jesus by His Holy Spirit. They had been dead, but Jesus Christ had quickened them, and they had been forgiven, notice, all trespasses. Sin is a problem with everyone. We must deal with sin. I have known people, even in the church, some who have obeyed the gospel, attended all the services of the church, read their Bible with regularity, pray with absolute conviction, who believe that God has not forgiven every sin that they have committed. The apostle says that you have been forgiven all trespasses. A trespass is a violation of the will of God. God has a standard by which mankind is to live. God has a blueprint for a successful, happy, joyous, contented, successful, victorious life. When we do not follow the blueprint, when we step outside of the design that God has for our life, we trespass. And so Paul writes to these saints at Colossae and said that Jesus Christ, God the Father, has forgiven you every single time that you have trespassed. You are forgiven all trespasses. How? How did the Ephesian church move from dead in trespasses and sins, living according to the course of this world, fulfilling all the desires of the mind and the flesh, move to where they were now saints, faithful, chosen, adopted, redeemed, and forgiven? How did they make that journey? How did that transition of life occur? First, by the mercy and love of God. Ephesians 2, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love, wherewith He loved us. That passage gets my attention. Great love. God has great love. Love for whom? The dead in trespasses and sins. He loves the saint, but He loves the sinner. He has saved the saint. He desires the sinner to be saved. They had moved from death to sainthood by the mercy and the love, by a God who is rich in mercy and has great love. The transition had been made by grace, Ephesians 2, verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved. It was not anything that I did. It was not any meritorious work that I performed. I understand, and you must understand, that I, nor you, nor anyone will ever be in the debt of God. God owes humanity nothing. I owe God everything. I have been saved by grace because God had enough love and enough kindness in His heart that He wanted me, a sinner, dead in trespasses and sins, living according to the course of the world, fulfilling all the desires of the flesh and mind, and being a child of wrath, to be saved. Kindness. Ephesians 2, 7. That in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. God is kind. In His kindness He saved man. In His unkindness He could have destroyed man. In His wrath He could have destroyed man. But the Apostle Paul said, you have made a transitional journey from death to life. Alienated from God to the friendship of God, the fellowship of God, because of God's kindness. Humanity has never been treated so kindly. The blood of Christ. Ephesians 2:13. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. We were far away from God. Sin will put you in the far country. Sin will leave you desolate. Sin will leave you hopeless. Sin will ruin your life. Sin will destroy your reputation. And sin will damn your soul. But you've been made nigh. God reached out, brought you in, brought me in. I was afar off, but I've been made nigh by the blood of Christ. Dead in trespasses and sins, saint, faithful, chosen, adopted, redeemed, forgiven. How? Mercy, love, grace, kindness, blood of Jesus Christ. What's the result? I'm a fellow citizen. I'm a citizen of the kingdom of God. I have appreciated my citizenship in the kingdom of earth. I'm thankful for every blessing and every privilege that I've enjoyed in my life here. But I'm far grateful, more grateful, exceedingly grateful to be a citizen of a kingdom that cannot be assaulted, that cannot be destroyed, that cannot be overcome. Fellow citizen, Ephesians 2:19. Now therefore, if you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. In whose company do you prefer to be found? In the company of sinners and heathens and transgressors, or in the company of saints and of the household of God? Ephesians 2:19, they were fellow citizens with the saints, and they were of the household of God. You live in the house of God. You're a son, a child of God. Think about that. Let that sink into your heart. There is a being that the Bible identifies as God. And when your eye is cast across this vast space, this vast universe, the Bible says that the being called God made it all in a word. He spoke and everything that is in existence, everything that we know and everything that we do not know. And there is probably far more that we do not know than we know. And God created it. And He allows me to live in His house. Some children are never grateful for the house in which they live. Some children are never grateful for the parents that they've had. The opportunities that they have been given. I live in the household of God. You are a holy temple. Ephesians 2:21. In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord. It just gets better and better, doesn't it? It gets richer and richer. You're dead in trespasses and sins. By mercy, love, grace, kindness, and blood, you are transitioned to where you have become a fellow citizen with the saint. You are allowed to live in the household of God, and you have become a holy temple in the Lord. The habitation of God is a blessing. Verse 22 of Ephesians 2. In whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Not only do you live in the household of God, but God lives in you. That's amazing, isn't it? A dirty old filthy sinner. And God takes up His abode in the human spirit. You are the household of God. You live in His house. But you are the habitation of God. God lives in you. I don't understand that. I can't explain that. But with all of my soul, I believe that. What is the blessing? The dead becomes the living. The sinner becomes the saint. And the foreigner becomes the citizen. That's the progression that Paul shows the church in the book of Ephesians. What is the church? It's a bunch of filthy sinners who have been saved by the grace of God. I had a professor in college. I sat in many of his Bible classes, and I only remember one thing that he ever said. But it had an impression upon my young heart that I have never forgotten it. I can't tell you anything that any professor said to me in all of the classes that I took. But I remember this one single statement made by a man called Matt Craig. There are two kinds of people in the world. There are sinners, and there are sinners with a Savior. That's the church. In 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11, Paul is writing, according to 1 Corinthians 1, verse 2, to the church of God in Corinth, to the saints, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called and chosen of God. That's who they were. But in chapter 6, he tells who they had been. Unless we can remember who we have been, we can't appreciate who we are. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? The unrighteous cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived. Don't be tricked. Don't be fooled. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. You really want to keep company with that kind of people? Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. That's quite a category of people. That summarizes the lifestyle of the majority of the people who live in the world. And such were some of you. Are you telling me, Paul, that the church of God at Corinth, saints of God, sanctified in Christ Jesus, set apart for the service of God, prepared and made fit to serve God, called and chosen of God, that you were once fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, abusers of themselves with mankind, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revelers, extortioners. Such were some of you. That's who the church in Corinth was. They'd been sinners who by mercy, love, grace, kindness, and blood had been forgiven. God will forgive you. God will forgive any sin and every sin. There's not a sin of which man can dream. There's not a sin that humanity can commit that the God of heaven will not forgive. Such were some of you, but. Oh, I love that word. That's the most amazing word in the New Testament. But. You're washed, you're sanctified, you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. God took a group of people who had fornicated, adulterated, who had been idolaters, effeminate, abusers of mankind, who had stolen, who had hearts that were filled with covetousness, who were drunkards and revilers and extortioners, and he had made them the church of God at Corinth. That's the transition in the book of Ephesians. That's the spiritual journey that the Apostle Paul presents in this marvelous six-letter epistle. Forgiveness is the greatest blessing that has ever been bestowed upon humanity. 1 John 2:21, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for His name's sake. I am allowed to come into the presence of Almighty God because my sins have been forgiven. I am allowed to pray unto the Father of Heaven, who can move the world with a word, who can dissolve every doubt in my mind, who can help me bear every burden, who can dry every tear, who can heal my heart, who can bring contentment and peace to my soul, because I have been forgiven. I can dream of a land beyond this veil of tears and sorrow. I can imagine an eternal walk with the Almighty God in the home of the redeemed, because I have been forgiven. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for His name's sake. I have been forgiven because at one point in time, the divine Son of the Almighty God bled and died on a dark hill that the Bible calls Calvary. I have been forgiven, and you have been forgiven, and can be forgiven, and will be forgiven, because there is a God who controls the universe, who has a heart of mercy, love, grace, kindness, motivated, shaped by the blood of Jesus Christ. What's the theme of the epistle to the Ephesians? A church that has been forgiven of sin, who now lives to serve the Lord Jesus Christ and glorify the God of heaven. If you have not made this spiritual journey, this spiritual transition, if you are dead and not alive, a sinner and not a saint, a foreigner and not a citizen, then God has an open door. He has an invitation. He has a heart that waits to receive. Faith in Jesus as the Son of God. Repentance of sin. Lord, I'm sorry that I've traveled the road that I've traveled. Done the things that I've done, thought the things that I've thought. Confession, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And be immersed or buried in the watery grave of baptism. And what happens is spiritual death and a resurrection to spiritual life. And whereas you were a sinner, now you are a saint. That's the invitation of Jesus. That's the call of the gospel. That's the offer that we make to you, if we can help you as we stand and sing.